The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You must love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As Becky said earlier this morning, today is Constitution Sunday. On this day, we commemorate the formation and signing of the U.S. Constitution by 39 brave men on September 17, 1787. This is an important day in our nation's history. We're pleased this morning to have with us the Pinellas and Pasco County Regents Council of the Daughters of the American Revolution, and the Clearwater Chapter and the St. Petersburg Chapter, Sons of the American Revolution, to help us remember that day. I'd like you to stand up, if you would, so that we can recognize you. Thank you, and thank you for joining us this morning. As we know, the American Revolution was a colonial revolt that took place between 1765 and 1783. The American patriots in the 13 colonies won independence from Great Britain, becoming the United States of America. They defeated the British in the American Revolutionary War in alliance with France and others. 3 years before the war finally ended, these 39 men came together to begin the work of designing a form of government for these United States. September 17, 1787 was their last meeting, at which time they were able to put their signatures on this document, setting up a government that has held our country together for 231 years. Many of us can quote at least the first few words of the preamble to our Constitution. I will read it to you now slowly, emphasizing certain points. "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." The words of this preamble show the concern our forefathers had for all human beings, the desire that all people be treated equally with justice and caring for their general welfare. And no one can deny that many of the founding fathers of these United States of America were men of deep religious convictions based in the Bible and faith in Jesus Christ. George Washington said, "While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion, to the distinguished character of patriot. It should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian." Patrick Henry said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." On reading this morning's readings, They could not be more appropriate. In our first reading this morning from Micah, the people of Israel were encouraged to remember all that God had done for their nation, that they might learn to recognize the righteous acts of the Lord. God had acted so many times on their behalf and still does on our behalf throughout our lives, doesn't he? When we remember and recognize the righteous acts of the Lord on our own lives, we, like the Israelites, may get to the point where we ask, with what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? With what should I approach the Lord? Now, that's not asking, what can I do for God so that he'll do something nice for me? Which reminds me of an anecdote I read recently where a man was running late to a very important meeting and he wasn't finding a parking space. And he prayed, Lord, if you can help me find a parking space, I promise I'll go to Mass every week of my life and I'll give away the whiskey. Even as he says this prayer, a parking space opens up in front of him. And he looks up and says, never mind, Lord, I found one. If you have ever asked the question Micah mentions, with what should I approach the Lord? Acknowledging all that God has done for you, or me, or Good Shepherd even, Micah says, he has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you, to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. We are to care for all people, not considering ourselves better than anyone. Someone might be different than us, might be less advantaged, might be more advantaged. Whatever makes us uncomfortable with this person or that person, we may never know why that difference has occurred. It could be one of many things. Even the fact that they've had tremendous failings or situations in their life. They were brought up in a very abusive home or a difficult home, causing them to act out in a certain way. We may never know. We don't walk in their shoes. But God has told us to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. And then the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Timothy, first of all, I ask that requests, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Pray for kings and everyone who is in authority. Ouch, Cindy, you're getting personal now. Pray for kings and everyone in authority. Does that sound like too much? Does he say to appreciate everyone in authority? I don't care where you are in your thoughts. There's pros and cons everywhere we look. But God does not say to appreciate them. He does say to pray for them. And those in authority need more prayer because of the responsibility that's laid on them. Do we have to like what they're doing to pray for them? Those whom we may disagree with in how they're handling things should be prayed for more. Do you know God can answer prayer? Years ago, I knew of a Baptist church where the people were complaining about the pastor. They didn't like his sermons. They didn't like some of the things that he was doing, treating some of the congregation. And the complaining and the bickering went on and on. And some of them got together and decided to pray for their pastor. And they started every Saturday evening to join together at church in prayer for their pastor. The pastor didn't know about these prayer sessions, but it was interesting how they actually started noticing a difference in his sermons. He somehow started treating people in the congregation with more sincere caring. What made the difference? They're not sure, but Paul continues in his letter by saying we are to pray for them so that we can live a quiet and peaceful life in complete godliness and dignity. This is right, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the human Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a payment to set all people free. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven." Our true worship is to do the work of God's justice and love every day. I'm reminded of our baptismal covenant, where we are asked, "Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?" And we respond, "I will, with God's help." Then we're asked, "Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being?" And we respond by saying, "I will, with God's help." I can't emphasize the importance of trusting, of treating everyone with love and justice and dignity without acknowledging that you may be the one who so greatly needs it. Maybe you're going through something in your life causing you to question all this. You're ready to run away from God and hide, perhaps. You don't know where to turn. And certainly you wouldn't want to ask the person sitting next to you to help, but maybe you should. None of us are perfect, but in my experience here at Good Shepherd, I can honestly say we have some of the most caring, giving, and loving family right here. Are we perfect? No. Do we even here at Good Shepherd make mistakes? Yes. But I look out among you and I see a family that genuinely cares about each other as well as for those out in our community. And I believe we can do even more. We're already planning a Thanksgiving dinner for those out in the community who don't have a family table to gather at on this holiday, and for those who might not be able to afford a Thanksgiving dinner for their family. Up to 250 people will be fed this Thanksgiving right here. And as we individually spend time each day with our Lord, asking Him to guide us in our walk with Him, to show us opportunities to make ourselves available to Him, I believe this parish will be able to reach out so much more in ways we haven't considered. Lord, as I meet someone today who has a need, whether physically, spiritually, or emotionally, in need of justice, in need of love, give me the words, show me your will. And I'm reminded of Samuel when he was very young, who said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."